Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
You lost control of yourself. You cannot think well. You make mistakes. Amen. So hot temper causes arguments, causes mistakes, and you will do foolish things. You lose your reputation because you get angry and blow up in the middle of a group of people. Then people don't trust you anymore. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 29, the Bible says, the fool who provoke his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left. Amen. How many people want blessing in the family? Don't use anger to control your kids. Don't yell at your kids and say, you have to do this. You know what? You damage your own family by using your anger to tell people what to do. You need to use wisdom, not anger. Amen. So number two, there is a cause of uncontrolled anger. Everyone say at the same time, a cost of uncontrolled anger. Number three, reflect before reacting. In other words, don't respond impulsively. Don't respond impulsively, but delay. Everyone say delay. Delay is a tremendous tool. It's a great remedy for anger. I'm not talking about stuffing in thing inside. Because if you put that inside you, you're going to start to have bitterness and resentment. I'm not talking about pushing things inside. I'm talking about delaying. Don't react right away, but reflect. Thomas Jefferson say like this. When you are angry, count 1 to 10. And when you are very angry, count 1 to 100. Have you ever done that? I did that all the time. When I get angry, I delay. I back off and count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I need to count because I know that when I step back a little bit and delay, I will be able to think through. I will be able to begin to analyze the situation. The adrenaline that came out from my adrenal gland will start to go down. The blood pressure go down. You know, that's why if you can live a life without blowing up all the time, you're going to have a healthy life. A lot of people are so full of anger and they have blood pressure problem. They have high cholesterol. You know, they have a heart attack because the heart pump all the time with adrenaline. Epinephrine, we call epinephrine in a medical term. It come out all the time, but you get angry. Your body, the gland inside you above the kidney will produce adrenaline and cause blood pressure to go up, heartbeat go up, then you get sick. Amen. So that's why you need to delay, you need to slow down and have some time to think. Let the energy go down a little bit. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29 verse 11, a stupid man give free rein to his anger. I hope you don't want to be a stupid man. A wise man waits and let it grow cool. The word cool is in the Bible. I heard teenagers say cool all the time. Cool. Hey man, cool. The word cool is in the Bible too. You need to cool down. Take some time, delay. Amen. The Proverbs chapter 19 verse 11 say, a man's wisdom give him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. When you get angry, don't put the gear into your mouth right away and blow it through your mouth. When you get angry, don't put the gear in your hand right away. I notice nowadays, we have another way to express our anger by using email. A whole email fly all over the places. When somebody get angry, type it in. I'm mad at you. And just send it out. You know, pull your hand out from the keyboard. Don't put the gear on when you get angry. You know, I learned one thing is that I'm not going to type any email when I get angry. Because I can damage relationships. I need to pull back and delay a little bit and calm down and pray and spend time with God. During you are delaying your anger, what you need to do? You need to analyze the situation. What makes you angry? Why are you angry? You know, sometimes people are angry with the little stupid things that they should not be angry at all. And they just destroy their home. They make everyone unhappy. Very little things. How many people faced that before? Little things destroy the relationship because they don't control the anger. You know, there are three reasons that people get angry. How many people want to know? Three reasons that people get angry. Number one, we are angry when we get hurt. How many people use the hammer and you try to put the nail down, and then the hammer slip and get on your fingers and you get hurt? And you know what is your first reaction? You get angry. Is that right? You're angry to yourself, you're angry with the nail, you're angry to the hammer, you're angry with everyone around you. Amen. You know, one time I was very angry, but I'm glad that I can control myself. One time I was performing surgery, and a nurse made a mistake. Instead of putting the scalpel knife, you know, normally the principle is that you need to put the knife away from the hand of the surgeon. Because you hand the handle of the knife, you don't put the knife toward the person. But that day, that nurse made a mistake. She put the knife in front of me. And when I put the hand out to grab it, bam, get into my finger and cut me. And I was so angry in the beginning, say, what is going on here? The blood come out, but I start to count. 1, 2, 3, 4. I did not blow up at all. That's why the nurses in the hospital like me. Because I never throw any equipment or get angry. I just calm. And just let the blood flow out. If Jesus shed his blood, I'm happy to shed my blood. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Number one, when you get hurt. Number two, when you get angry, when you get frustrated. Amen. You notice one thing, when the temperature, when the atmosphere become humid and hot, you get angry easily because you get frustrated inside you. Is that right? Some people are frustrated with the little things. So we have to be careful. Sometimes you need to ignore the offenses. You need to just overlook those kind of things. Don't get on your nerve all the time. Don't let people who do a little things get on your nerve all the time. Overlook it. Amen. Learn to overlook. Number three, fear causes people to be angry. I remember when I was young, I tried to push a dog into the corner and try to give him a hard time, that dog. And eventually, he got fearful that I'm going to kick or something do to him, and he began to get mad at me and fight back, start to yell, bark at me and want to bite me. So yeah, when you are fearful, you get angry. Amen. So you have to be very careful. Look at the situation, what is going on here, and try to resolve the root of the problem. Don't try to blow up your anger right away. Hold back, delay, evaluate, analyze, and if you get hurt, you just bless them back. Amen. If you get frustrated, overlook some of those things. Amen. Number three, reflect instead of reacting. Amen. Number four, release your anger appropriately. Release. Everyone say release. My anger appropriately. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 26 say, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. I practice this principle in my home. I always resolve the problem with my wife before we go to bed. We resolve every anger, every conflict before the sun go down. We try to resolve it, talk about it as soon as possible. The Bible says this, anger can lead to sin. Anger itself is not a sin. But if you react or you express or you release it in the wrong way, it can be a sin. And God said, do not sin. When you get angry, there are helpful ways to get angry. And there are harmful ways to get angry. There are appropriate responses and inappropriate responses. You cannot avoid anger in your life because you're going to face problem every single day. Amen. Every single day, you have to deal with anger. How many people agree with me? Sometimes people drive and cut in front of you. Is that right? Sometimes you want to go to some place very fast, but then the red light come on and you cannot get there on time. You get angry. So you have to deal with anger every single day. But some people respond this way. They kind of deny it. They say, oh, I'm not angry. I'm a godly man. I'm a spiritual man. I don't get angry, but inside still boiling. Oh, that is a lie. That is not real. Don't lie to yourself. If you get angry, you're angry. Be honest to yourself. Don't lie. Some people, you know, they push it down. They push the anger down. And then that anger, they swallow it up. They swallow the anger in. And then it burns their stomach. It burns their body. It can make them sick. They could not sleep. They get into trouble because they swallow the anger down. So that is not the right way to do either. Amen. If you want to be a blessing to any relationship, how many people want to be a blessing, not a curse? I want to be a blessing in my married life. I want to be a blessing to my children. God bless me so that I can be a blessing to the nations. I want to be a blessing to my friend. I want to be a blessing to young and tai. I don't want to be a burden to them. I want to be a blessing to everyone around me. I want to be a blessing to the members of the church. Therefore, I need to learn how to build relationship. Relationship in the eyes of God is very important. And anger burn relationship, destroy your relationship. So you need to understand how to deal with it. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11, the Bible says clearly, a fool vents all of his feeling or his anger, but a wise man holds them back. My dear brother and sister, some psychologists say like this, you have a limited supply of anger in your container. If you dump it out, it will be gone. How the psychologists teach you? They will say like this, go to a room and just yell and just release it in your own room. Ah! Like this. And it will be gone. I tell you right now, it's not going to help you. Because you have a factory of anger. Not just a basket. You have a factory of anger. Anger comes to you every single day. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's a factory. So you need to learn how to deal with it. And we are irritated by different things. Something for me to irritate me may not irritate you. And the devil knows very well what irritates you. Some of you are irritated when people make you late. Is that right? How many people have that irritation? When people make you late, you get irritated. Some of you are irritated when people make you wait. Some of us are irritated when you see some lazy people that don't work hard. That's my irritation. Even I see people are lazy, it really irritates me. Because I'm a hardworking man. I don't like laziness. I don't like people who get lazy. It kind of irritates me, make me angry. Some people are irritated when you walk into the home and the house is messy. And you start to get on your wife and you just yell at your wife and just blow up. You know, don't do that. Because your wife works hard too. Amen. We have different irritations. We need to deal with those anger. Some of us, when you see something that irritates you, you blow up, like Mount St. Helen. Some of you clamp down. Some of you, when you get angry, you are like a skunk. You know, when skunks get angry, it will let everyone know. I hope you don't want to be a skunk. Because it will let everyone know when it gets angry. But some of us are like a turtle. I remember when I went to canoe in Tampa, Florida. I saw a turtle on a piece of wood. And I tried to get close to try to touch. You get angry. You know what the turtle do? They pull the head in and just fall into the water and disappear. Some people are like that. When they get angry, they just pull the head in, put their head in the sand and disappear. And just get inside, boiling inside, get mad inside. So don't be like a turtle and don't be like a skunk. This is how you should release your anger. 3 no and 1 yes. The first one that you should not do, don't repress your anger. Don't repress. What does it mean, repress? Repress means stuff it in. Repress means swallow it in. And swallow it and burn inside you. Just burn it up inside you. Don't swallow it in. Don't suppress. Suppress means like this. Ignore that it happens. Pretend like nothing happened. I want to tell you, both of these are not good. Repression and suppression cause depression. A lot of people are depressed because they suppress the anger, because they repress the anger. I notice when I give counseling to many people who are depressed, I find out that the root of the problem is not depression, it's anger. He is angry with his wife, so he cannot do anything. He just keep inside and eventually become very depressed. Cannot do anything with it. Don't know how to handle the situation. Amen? So don't repress, don't suppress. Number 3, don't express your anger. People express their anger in a different way. I give you an example. Some people express their anger by blowing it up. Blow up. Yelling. Sarcastic words. Use sarcastic words. Take drugs. Some people try to resolve their anger, express their anger by eating, 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 eating. Go out and eat and eat and eat. Yes, people express their anger that way. They eat. Some people express their anger by manipulation. They manipulate their friend, their spouses. Some people express their anger by having an affair. I have seen that. Some people still love his wife. He still love his wife. He care everything. But because he's angry with his wife, he go out and have an affair. Just to do something about it. To release my anger. Amen. So don't do those things. What you need to do is confess it. Confess your anger. Confess to who? Number 1, confess to yourself. I admit that I am angry. Number 2, confess it to God. God, I admit that I am angry. I tell the story last night that one time in around 1989 or so, I was so angry with a man. This person called everywhere. You know, at that time, I was new in the city. I didn't know a lot of people. I have only a small group of friends here. I didn't know a lot of people. And God called me to start a church in 1988. This man called everyone in the city about me and say that, oh, you know, he's just a baby. He doesn't have a big nose and blonde hair. He cannot be a pastor. He just, baby, just still drink milk. He cannot be a pastor. He say like that. He told everyone in the city not to come to my church. I was so angry with him. You know, in my heart, I want to use my 3rd degree black belt. I want to psychic. I want to call him and yell at him and get angry with him. I was so mad because I didn't do anything wrong. I love him so much. I led him to Christ myself. I witnessed to him. I told him about God. And he was saved by me, through me, not by me, through me. But he still called everyone because he was not, you know, happy with me. And I never forgot that day. I was driving my Jetta, Volkswagen, around in summer of 1989, around Green Lake area. And I say to God, God, I admit that I am very angry. I want to take revenge. I admit. And the Lord said to me, Mom, forgive him because he doesn't know what he is doing. If a person touched the anointed, I will take care. You are my anointed. I call you to be a pastor. If anyone criticizes you, you don't need to take care. I take care. I feel release. And I say, I forgive. I'm not get angry anymore. You want to know the whole story? A year later, this man was still attacking me, attacking me, attacking me. He was standing in his shop. Suddenly his liver blew up. an abscess go all over the tummy. He went to the ICU at University Hospital, and he was 1 millimeter close to death. I and another member of the church went there to pray for him, and God saved him from that death, that bed of death. After that day on, this man never said anything about me. The punishment come upon him because he touches the anointed. He criticized the pastor who tried to serve God and do the things for God. Therefore, don't touch the anointed. Don't criticize pastor, leader in the church. Amen. This is not in the teaching here. Just kind of give you the lesson. Admit it. Admit to God. Admit to yourself. Admit to the person. You know, I really honor my wife, Da, Pastor Da, very much. Every time she was upset with me because I did something wrong, she never kept it inside. She would come to me and say, "Mom, honey, we need to resolve this issue." She tried to communicate with me right away. She will admit to me. She will come and really say to me that I am upset with you. Can we resolve this? And I say, "Sorry, I will not do it again." Something like that. Amen? So I keep improving as a husband because my wife was very genuine to me. She told me all the time what she likes, what she doesn't like. So I need to keep improving to adjust myself with her so that I will make her happy. Amen. There is an anesthesiologist in the hospital always said this to me. He tried to encourage me to buy a car for my wife, one kind of car. He said like this, which I agree with him. Happy wife, happy life. This is not in the Bible, but I agree. Happy life, happy wife, happy life. All the husbands say with me. Happy wife, happy life. Okay, Tom, you say, I don't see you say it. I don't say you say it. Happy wife, happy life. I watch you who don't say it. Hallelujah. Okay, so please express your release your anger in the right way by admitting. Don't suppress, don't replace, don't blow up. Okay? Number 5, repattern your mind. 5, 6, 7 are the principle for people who have problem with anger. Who have the problem with anger. 3 things you need to do to deal with it so that you become a person who full of love and patience. Number 1, you need to do number 5 here. Repattern your mind. Do you know that whatever you think, it will affect your feeling? Is that right? Whatever you think affect your feelings, and whatever you're feeling inside will affect your actions and your words. So that's why you need to deal with your thinking first, your mind first. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Renew your mind. The Bible says, don't conform with the world. You know why? Because the world, the TV show, the movies, the magazine will teach you how to release your anger in a different way. When you watch movie, you can see that when people get angry, what they do in the movie, they teach you. Pull the gun, throw the bomb, yelling, take revenge. Is that right? That's the movie teaches. Kick them, kill them. Cuss them. So that's what you learn from the world when you watch all this movie. But the Bible says, renew your mind. Therefore, you need to read and receive the word of God to renew your mind. That's why I told you a while ago, write down all this scripture, because you're going to go back home and read this scripture again and again until you are not an angry person, a short-tempered person. You read those scriptures again and again. Renew your mind with the word of God. Read the Bible every day. Receive the Bible, come into your mind, and just wash your mind with the word of God every single day. Some people say in the church, "Oh, Brother, I cannot keep up with you, Pastor Lau. This church changed all the time. I come to church 10 years ago, it was one way, now it changed to another way. Why you keep changing? I tell you right now why I keep changing. Because I let the Word of God change me first. The Word of God changed my mind, so my thinking changed every single year. So if you stay in this church long enough, you're going to see that 5 years from now, we will be different. Because I'm changed. When I'm changed, the whole church is going to change. Is that right? We are growing. God is renewing my mind. My thinking has changed every single year because the Word of God changed me. I want to encourage you to go and read the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and Romans chapter 8. These two chapters teach you about your security in God. I tell you, one of the reasons people get angry because they don't have security. They are insecure. People who are insecure get angry easily. I remember many years ago, I was working at Veteran Hospital up on the Bacon Hill there. And I was walking into the room in the rehab department, and a man was on the wheelchair. And I know that he gave me a hard time because he thought that I come from one country, that he was injured in that battle. I don't want to mention the name of the country. He went to that country, got injured, so he hated that country. He lost his leg. I walked in to see him. And he turned to me and he pretend. I know he pretended not to understand me. He kind of ignored me. I was a doctor. I came in with a long white gown as a neurosurgeon. And I was talking to him. He said, "What? What?" He pretend not to understand me. He kind of tried to ridicule my accent. And I tell you, if I don't have security in God, I would be mad at this man. That you look down to me as a second class citizen. But I tell you, I was standing there, smiling, I loved the man. You know why? My security is not in your opinion. My security is not in what you think about me. My security is in what God thinks about me. I am a child of God. I'm saved. I'm blood washed. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm anointed. I am a citizen of heaven. God, I matter to God. God loved me. Jesus loved me so much that he died for me. Jesus loved me so much that he sent angels to be around me. He put me in his hand. He cared for me. He has a plan to prosper me. He has a plan of hope and future. I am a child of God. It doesn't matter what other people in this nation think about me. I care about God's opinion upon my life, not people's opinion. And then I can have security. It doesn't matter if you right now get mad at me, walk out of the room right now because you don't like my preaching. It doesn't matter to me. I will not get angry. I will love you the same. You need to meditate on the Word of God. You need to memorize the scriptures. You need to really renew your mind, who you are in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people know that you are precious in the eyes of God? Amen. It doesn't matter what people talk about you. Yes. It matters what God thinks about you. Yes. You are the beautiful daughter of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Number 6. Relate to people who are patient. The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 to 25. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered. And you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. Do you know that anger is contagious? Do you know that anger is infectious? Do you know that short-tempered come from two reasons? How many people know? Number one, the first reason, you learn it. I noticed that people who grow up in the home that the dad is short-tempered, all of them are short-tempered. They learn from their dad. They see their dad throw stuff, yell. So when they grow up, they are short-tempered too. It's a learning process. Therefore, you can unlearn it. The second reason people are short-tempered because they are demonized. They try to fast and pray, they read the Bible, they go to church, everything, but they're still short-tempered because they are bound by the demon of anger. But today I'm not talking about demon. I'm going to talk about learn and unlearn. You learn to be angry by being around people who are angry or short-tempered all the time. Therefore, it's so important to fellowship and to hang around with godly men and godly women who are very self-controlled. Amen. If you hang around with godly men and godly women, you're going to learn. You're going to unlearn the old way and you're going to learn the new way from the godly people. Fellowship. Hang out with people who are mature in Christ. Hang out with godly people. Don't hang out with bad people. Spend more time with mature Christians. Mature couples. Amen. I was so blessed to hear John. John Filter told me that if you go out of town, I like to go with you. I want to hang out with you. That's a hard, good attitude. I want to hang out with godly people. Yesterday, I talked to my friend, Sin, an evangelist. He said, can you hang out with me in Ecuador? I want to invite you to come to our crusade in Ecuador for a couple of days. Right away, Ben Johnson come to me. Can I go and hang out with you two over there in Ecuador? I want to fly with you. That's a good attitude. We want to hang out together. We want to be around all the ladies in this church. Hang out with a godly woman so that you can be a godly wife. Men, hang out with a godly men so that you can get some impartation, get some iron, sharpens iron. Hang out with the right people. Amen. Associate with the right people. Be godly people. Last one. Romans chapter 15, verse 5. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, each with the attitude of Christ Jesus toward the other. The last one I want to say today is that in order to manage your anger, you need to hang out with Jesus. You need to have Jesus in your life. Yesterday, I talked to one sister in the church. Her name is Tracy. She told me this, Tracy Chi. She told me that she's not here today. She fly out already to California. She said that, Pastor Lau, you know, when I first came to church, I really liked your sermon. You have a lot of wisdom. And I really enjoy it. I go home, I try to practice it. But I find out that I could not do it. I could not do what you preach. And after a few weeks, she accepted Jesus Christ into her heart. And she realized that she could not do what God says in the Bible unless she has Jesus on the inside of her. When Jesus comes into your life, He will live on the inside of you. You are the gloves. And He is the hand. I cannot love people by myself because my original nature is selfishness. I cannot control my anger because my original nature is short temper. The only way is that to let the Spirit of Jesus come into my life by inviting Him to come in. And I let Him, I yield to Him. That's why the Bible says if you want to be saved, you need to call Him Lord, Master. I used to be a Buddhist. I gave food to the monk every morning with my dad. I chanted about 2 hours a day in front of Buddha statue. I'm not looking down on Buddhists, don't take me wrong. I'm just trying to tell you the true story. I tried everything. I give money to the poor. I went to temple. I did all the things, but I was never changed because I was still the same man. I just performed religious ceremony. I was short-tempered, I was selfish, I was greedy, I was arrogant, I was prideful. Until one day, I invited Jesus Christ to come into my life. He replaced my frustration with His peace. He replaced my fear with His power. He replaced my hurt with His love. He came into my life. And not only that, I say, Jesus, You are my Lord. I yield to You. I surrender to You. You can do whatever You want in my heart. You can do whatever You want in my life. And Jesus began to move inside of me. Because I yield. He is the Lord. You know, when you say Lord, what does it mean? This is Lord. Lord is not like this. Come here. Bus boy. I need money. I need a job. Come here. Give me a job. No, no. Lord means my Lord Jesus, help me. I have short temper. Could you please move on the inside of me? Give me patience. That's what the Bible said a while ago. May God who give this patience and encouragement to you. We need Jesus to be patient people. To be long-suffering. We need Jesus in our heart. Therefore, this is the most important solution. If you learn all these six things from the beginning without this one, I tell you right now, you may not make it. Because you cannot do it by yourself. You need the power of God. Amen. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians, it's not in the computer, I read to you. Ephesians. No, I don't forget. Do it later on. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 20. I can do all these things exceedingly, abundantly, more than what I can ask for, through the power that is working in me. You need that power. And the only person that can give you power is the Lord Jesus Christ. Religion just gives you law. But Christianity gives you not only law, but it gives you. Christianity, the Lord Jesus provides you His power by living on the inside of you. Therefore, from people who don't know Jesus in this room, I would like to encourage you to invite Jesus into your life. That's the answer. You need Him. For people who claim that you know Jesus, the Bible says, not everyone who call me Lord, Lord will make it to heaven. In other words, you need to not just say, I know about Jesus. You need to have the Lordship of Jesus in your life. There's a big difference between being in a religion in the church or have the Lordship. You know why a while ago why I worship God like this? Why I stand around and walk around like this? My Jesus, my Savior. You know why I lift my hand up? I don't worship God this way. Because God is not my bus boy. God is my King. God is my Master. He's my Lord. I need to treat Him right. I need to treat God right the way He is. Is that right? My Lord, I surrender to You. You express not only your heart expressed in the outward action. I want to speak to the who claim yourself that you are a believer in this room. You say, I'm a Christian. Yeah, you read the Bible. You went to Sunday school. But I ask you this question. Is Jesus Lord of your life? Is Jesus Master of your life? I tell you, if Jesus is not the Master of your life, your Christianity will never work. And that hurt God the most because you go out there and you do bad stuff and a lot of people misunderstand our God because you never have Lordship but you claim to be a Christian. This morning I talked to James. James told me that he tried to witness to somebody to come to church and that person said, I can accept Jesus but I don't want to go to church. He said, why? Because I see a lot of hypocrisy in the church. A lot of people do bad stuff in the church. I don't want to go to church. It caused bad reputation to God. It's not God. God is good, but human cause bad reputation to Him. Is that right? My dear brothers and sisters, if you want to overcome anger, if you want to control anger, I want to give you the first step. even though I say the last thing today, invite Jesus into your life. Invite Him and let Him become the Lord of your life. Not only that you can overcome and control your anger, you will make it to heaven. Humans were not created to extinct. Our soul will live forever. Either we live in hell forever or we live in heaven forever. I don't know about you. I want to be in heaven for eternity. So when you accept Christ, not only that, He will help you to overcome anger. He forgives your sin. And you have the right and the ticket to live with Him in His palace up there, in the paradise, in heaven with Him forever. I want to see all of you in heaven that day. How many people say, I cannot help myself, I need God to help me? Raise your hand up. I need God to help me. Raise your hand up. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Why don't we pray to God together right now? Follow my prayer. Father in heaven, I need your help. I try and try to do good, to be patient, but many times I failed. I need your power, Lord. I need your help. I need your patience. I need your love. Oh Father, forgive my sin. Cleanse me. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross to pay for my sin. And on the third day, He was raised from the dead. And He ascended to the right hand of the Father. Jesus Christ, you are the living God. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my life right now. I am your temple now. My body is your temple. Your spirit come on the inside of me. Now my mouth is your mouth. My hands are your hands. You move on the inside of me. And I can do exceedingly, abundantly, more than what I can imagine and what I can ask through your power that works on the inside of me. Oh Jesus, thank you so much for loving me. In your name, I pray. Now I proclaim, I'm a born again Christian. I turn away from my sin. And my name is recorded in the book of life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And everyone who pray with me say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Welcome into the family of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This morning, I'd like to pray for you to bless you. To bless you. If you have any sickness and you want God to heal you, could you please stand up? I'd like to pray for you. Stand up. Believe God for the healing. Believe God for His help. Lift up your hand and receive from God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command healing to happen to their body, every part of their body, in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to their soul, their mind, their emotions, in the name of Jesus. You must go away from these people's sickness and disease. Demon of sickness, you must leave their body right now In Jesus' mighty name, they are healed by the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Everyone say, I receive by faith. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You can be seated. Hallelujah. How many people want the financial breakthrough? Financial breakthrough. And you believe that God is a provider. Stand up, please. Financial breakthrough. My dear brother and sister, God is your shepherd. The Bible says God is our shepherd and we shall not want. The Bible says that the thief come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. God never walk around breaking the leg of his children. God never walk around and give sickness to people. God wants his children to be blessed. And the blessing in heaven is there, out there, in heaven, ready for you. What you need to do is to receive by faith and command the devil to let go of the finances in your life. The devil come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give them life and give them more abundantly. Everyone say abundantly. God wants to give you abundantly so that you have more than enough. The Bible says that my God shall supply of all of your needs. In his riches, in glory by Christ Jesus. I don't believe in poverty. I don't believe in lack. I believe that God wants to bless his children. As I want to bless my children, I don't want my children to wear a rundown cloth, bit hole. I want my children to have good clothes, to have nice house to live. I want my children to have good education. My God even better than me. Your God is better than me. He wants to bless you. But you need to receive, you need to hold on to your right that God wants to bless you. Say with me right now. In the name of Jesus. Devil, I command you to let go of my finances. The finances from heaven will be released to me by faith right now. God will open the door when it seems like there is no way. God will make the crooked path straight for me. I have a favor with God and have a favor with man. My boss will give me a raise. My God shall supply all of my needs. I am the head, not the tail. I am above, not beneath. I will lend to the nations, but I will not borrow. My debt is canceled. You give me wisdom how to manage my finances. I speak prosperity. I am blessed. And I will be a blessing to others. I am blessed. I am not cursed. I am blessed. I am blessed. In the name of Jesus. I will have more than enough. My God has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still in the business of multiplication. He multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish and have 12 baskets full left over. Therefore, whatever I do, whatever I give, it shall multiply in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what God spoke to me a few days ago? He said, Pastor, believe God for the financial breakthrough for your members? And I said, yes, God. And I asked God why. He said to me that so that they can bless my gospel. So that they can bless my great commission. I want to bless my children. My dear brother and sister, if you deny to receive the blessing from God, you will never be able to bless other people. You need to receive the blessing from God, not out of covetous spirit, but out of the faith and out of gratitude toward God. You need to believe that who God is. God is a God who wants to bless His people. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe in the name of Jesus that you all will live a long life. I believe that no sickness and disease can touch the member of this church. I believe that the curses of sickness cannot come into your home, cannot come to your children in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I went to Tampa, Florida. And God was really giving me a favor. A prophet came into town there. His name is Prophet Dick Mill. His name is in this book. He is a part of organizing this Bible called Spirit-Filled Life Bible. He is a real prophet. And it's amazing, this man is 84 years old. When the pastor calls somebody up, he will prophesy and he quote about 5 scripture for that person. And he said the scripture without opening the Bible. Bam, 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 bam. Hundreds of scripture that night. On the 4th, Pastor Rodney called many couples. And the 4th one was me and Da. He said, Pastor Varun and Pastor Da, stand up. And I want to read the scripture that he prophesied. When he prophesied over me, I was crying because this is the prayer that I have been praying in the past 1 year. Look at the scripture. From Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Proverbs 11, 30. Can you help me? It's in that computer. Proverbs 11, 30. The Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Next, Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. I just want you to know the prophecy over my life and that. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. James chapter 5, verse 20. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way, who save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. John chapter 4, verses 36 and 38. And he who reaps receives wages and gather fruit of for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. I send you to reap that for which you have not labored, and others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. So the prophecy over us is this. Pastor Da and I will go to the next level. We will see high anointing in the church. How many people feel that we have big presence of God today? You sense the presence of God? I don't know about you. I feel like a cloak on my body right now, a cloak of the anointing upon my body. Next, second thing he said that, from now on, our church will reap the harvest of soul, even though we don't sow. We're going to reap out of people, other people labor. The soul is going to come into the church. Amen. So that's for prophecy. And the Bible, and he also say that we're going to lead people to righteousness. How many people want this scripture for yourself? How many people say that? Open your hand up. And you say to Lord, I grab it, Lord. This is for me. This is for me. I go to the next level with my pastor. Are we going to receive the soul together? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Actually, every scripture in the Bible is for you. So it's not only for me, it's for you too. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. I got the email from Bangkok. We have a church over there in Bangkok, our sister church. And the pastor emailed me that every Sunday, people accept Christ and get touched by the Holy Ghost. Oh, they're growing and growing and growing. Thank God. I pray that one day we're going to go to Japan. One day we're going to fill up Thailand with churches. We're going to fill up Japan with churches. We're going to have missionaries to go to Africa, to other parts of the world, to Europe, European countries. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people get excited about that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to read one more scripture. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 19. God showed me this scripture and really revolutionized my life. I never think about it this way until God showed me. Luke chapter 19. Hallelujah. How many people feel the anointing right now? Feel the presence of God. Hallelujah. Oh, I sense the presence of God here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 28. When he, Jesus, had said this, he went ahead going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet that he sent two of his disciples saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it to here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you say to him, because the Lord has need of it. Everyone say, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners, Tom, Brenda, Pirate, Ginny, and Ron, Yong and Tai, Kun Paul, 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 Yukiko, Henry, all the people here who owns, the owners of it said to them, why are you losing the colt? Why you are losing my bank account? Why you are losing my asset? Why you are losing my finances in my wallet right now? And they said, the Lord has need of it. Then they brought him to Jesus. And they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. This is the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. That the Lord Jesus Christ would sit on the colt and enter Jerusalem. The Lord has need of that colt, and the owners release, lose it for the Lord. My dear brother and sister, the gospel is free. Your salvation is free. Thank God. You don't need to pay for your salvation because Jesus had already paid the price for you. But to take the gospel to all over the world. Next month, I'm going to fly to Bangkok. February, I may fly to Ecuador. All this time, because I'm not a full-time pastor, because I never get salary from the church, I use my own money to fly. I release my coat to buy the ticket to go there. The Lord has need of it so that I can go and preach the gospel. One of these days, I may become full-time. I will, not I may. I will become full-time. I may have to leave the job of being a neurosurgeon to pastor the church full-time. And the Lord need your asset. Need your finances so that the word of God will continue on. Amen. All these 16, 17, 18 years, I never get any salary from the church. Thank God for the pastor who can generate his own income like me. It's very hard to find. Most pastors will earn income from the church. And that's why God blesses us so much. I want to set you an example of being a giver, not being a taker. God told me this. People in America always say go getter. I want to change the word. We are go giver. We are go giver. My dear brother and sister, God may speak to you. You need to let go. The Lord needs your 10%. That tithe. 10% belong to God. Actually, if you think about it, what a good deal. What a good deal. God give me big sum of money. And instead of saying, actually, everything that you have belongs to God anyway. My clothes belong to God. My money belong to God. Everything come from God anyway. I didn't come into the world with anything. God give finances to me. Give paycheck to me, God. Give me ability to cut on people's head and shave people's hair. God give me ability to be a neurosurgeon. So all the money come from God. But what a good deal that He let me keep 90%. He didn't ask me to keep 50%. The Uncle Sam worse. They asked me for 35% of my income. I need to pay tax 35%, 40% of my income. Sometimes when I write the check and give to the Uncle Sam, I feel a little bit mad. It's a lot. 35% is a lot. But I cannot help because I don't want to be in jail. I want to obey the law of the country. Amen. But God said 10%. And sometimes God may ask you for free will offering. God may say, sell that land and give money to me because I need to have a bigger building. This building is overcrowded right now. That's why we have two services, Saturday, Sunday. The children have no room. We need to use. You know, God may say, sell that. Amen. So we need to, God say, the Lord has need of it for the gospel, for souls, for the kingdom of God. My dear brother and sister, that those owners in the book of Luke chapter 19 become a fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9 verse 9. Your giving can be a fulfillment of the prophecy that somebody pray for Seattle for revival. Somebody pray for me. In this trip that revival gonna happen in the Northwest in our church. And has been already happening. And the prophecy will become fulfilled because you lose your colt. You lose your donkey. And your donkey may not be donkey. Your donkey may be your asset. Your donkey may be your land. Maybe your donkey may be your car. You sell your car to give money to the church. Whatever. And it's not about me. It's about the Lord. The Lord has need of it. Amen. I listened to a testimony of a pastor from Alabama. Somebody hand him a cash $1,000. And then the Lord say, I need that one. Give it out. The whole thing. He said, no, Lord. Devil, you talk to me or something? This is my money, $1,000. You know, he's not a rich man. He's, you know, a poor pastor. So $1,000 is a lot for him. Maybe not a lot for some of you, but a lot for him. So, but he did obey the Lord. He gave it out to another pastor. And you know what happened? 3 weeks later, he got a land in Alabama, 12 acres, no payment, free. Somebody gave that to his church, 12 acres, free. The Lord can multiply what you give. Our Lord is still in the business of multiplication. Do you know that God has never changed? The Lord still in the business of multiplication, healing, deliverance, saving the lost, restore the marriage, blessing the kids. He is still in the business of multiplication and blessing people. But what you need to do is that when the Lord say, I need of that, let it go. Amen. Let go. Don't hold on to it. I want to teach you so that you understand. Amen. So this morning I'm going to give you the chance to bless the Lord with your finances. Amen. Write check to New Hope International Church. Bless the Lord. whatever God speak to you. But make sure that you are faithful in tithing. Don't cheat God. You know, sometimes people have a big formula how to cast out demons. I want to tell you, I have a very simple formula to cast out demons. How many people want to know? 1 minute. The Bible says if you give 10% to the Lord will rebuke the devourer, the demon, who come and steal your money, steal your health, put cancer in your life, whatever. If you pay tithe, the Lord will rebuke the devourer. Very simple message. One of the reasons the devil has a hard time attacking my home, attacking me and my wife, because I am a faithful tither. I give 10% since 1983. And I never become poorer. I have more in my bank account than 1983 now. Because God is a faithful God. I rarely get sick. I rarely get problem in my house. Because God protect me from the devourer. Amen. How many people believe that? Say amen.
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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's give to the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you today. How many people say, oh, today I'm blessed?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You're blessed today? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Therefore, if God bless you, go and bless other people. Amen. Let's go and bless other people during the week. Go and be a blessing to other people. Don't keep blessing for yourself. Go and bless. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, today that we can hear your word. We thank you for your presence today, Lord. We believe, Lord, that your love never ends. Your love is flowing forever. Lord, we receive your love. We receive your grace, Lord. Father, I pray that everyone in this room, Lord, will go out with strength, with victory, with joy, with power, Father. We bless them, Lord. We bless, Lord. We bless you and we bless one another in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's say at the same time, I am
more than conquerors
in Christ Jesus. I will be a blessing. To other people. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's give the mighty hand of praise to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington 98040. Thank you very much,